I gotta tell you, I'm a pretty lazy cook these days. And, well, maybe lazy isn't exactly it, but I'll put it this way. On most weeknights, if preheat the oven is the first step, I'm out. Like, that's already too much time. But sometimes I miss my old cooking life, when I would make obnoxious 12-course dinners, or bake bread, or stir 5-hour jams. You know, when I would have projects that take so much time and energy that somehow the act of making it feels permanent. Like, the work of cooking becomes a part of who you are. And so we got to thinking about doing a show on cooking projects, serious cooking projects. Delicious ones you can make along with us, and ones you might never try, but might give you a glimpse into the mind of someone who does.
Oh man, this is my entire life. This is all I've ever done. It's all I know. Cutting, chopping, and cooking.
That's the pitmaster, Rodney Scott. And there's no better way to start a conversation about the hardcore cooking life than with American barbecue. A friend of mine once told me that for truly great barbecue, the cook must only be slightly less committed than the pig. And I can't think of anyone who exemplifies that more than Rodney. Rodney Scott, great to have you.
Well, I'm glad to be here, man.
So, you know, we had an idea for a show about serious cooking projects, and as we were kicking around, the first person I thought of was you. Because I think, you know, your style of whole hog barbecue is like the ultimate cooking project. And you have a slogan, cut, chop, cook.
Yes.
Tell us what that's about.
Cut, chop, cook pretty much describes how my life was. You know, we went out every day and we cut our own wood and we brought it back to the shop. We split it once we got it into the shop and we cooked with it. You know, we burned it all down to cook because that was our only heat source.
So that was your life. You'd go cut down trees, you'd chop the trees, you cook the hog over those trees that you had once chopped. And it's like, This is a full-scale lifestyle. This isn't just like a thing you cook.
Oh, man, this is my entire life. This is all I've ever done. It's all I know. You know, my family opened a little general store back in 1972, and we did barbecue on Thursdays, and the whole heat source was all about wood. And in the South, where I grew up, you had chores and you had duties, and part of my duties were to help cut the wood to cook hogs.
So fast forward to today. As I understand, you've grown as a business. You know, you're not out there cutting down the trees yourself necessarily every time anymore. How long does it take you to barbecue a whole hog?
Man, to barbecue a whole hog, it takes at least 12 hours. The way that we do it, we burn our wood down to coals. So you have to fire it low and slow, and every 10 to 15 minutes for about 12 hours.
Like you're moving coals from your burn box and under the hog.
Yeah.
Every 10 minutes.
Every 10 to 15 minutes for 12 hours.
So you do this like through the day, you do it through the night. What do you do?
Well, now that I have a staff, thank goodness, I don't have to do it all night anymore. But it still goes on throughout the day as well whenever we have a rush order or a backup order, you know. So it's pretty much an all day or an all night process.
Can you describe what a whole night cooking a hog is like?
Man, a whole night of cooking hog is going to be longer than 12 hours. You got to get your fire going, get your hog going. And once you got it on the pit and you got the coals going under the hog and it's dripping nice and slow, and you're basically sitting there trying to stay awake and be careful cooking all the same time. It's long. It seems brutal if you're a person that's used to sleeping at night.
Yeah. People who know, you're a person who likes the party. Are you like partying all night long, or is it quieter than that?
Well, I party till at least about 2 a.m. You know, that's when everybody gives up and go to sleep. So I'll party with the slow jams, you know, the nice mellow stuff. And then about 2 a.m. I try to turn it off and have some quiet time till about 5. Oh, man, when you sit there and you've been cooking a hog all night and you see the sun, that lets you know you're almost done. You're getting to that finish point. You feel like you got that jump start on the entire world because you saw the sun come up. And you have lunch ready. It's a plus.
At 6 a.m., you got lunch ready.
6 a.m., lunch is ready to go.
So let's get back to the cook. You said something about the drip. Tell me about the drip. What are you looking for? What's a good cook like?
Oh, man, if you got that hog on and the hot coals under it, you want that drip to have that nice little that slow drip, which is really the fat falling into the hot coals. And that lets you know that you're cooking at the right pace, at the right temperature. Everything is just where it needs to be, as opposed to if it's sounding like rain where it's real fast, you need to back up and slow it down and let it, because you're taking a chance on the whole hog flaring up, and you don't want that. That's not a pretty thing, because you're at risk of losing the entire animal.
Like, meaning all that fat's going to come down and just, like, set a fire?
Yeah. All the fat will come down. It'll blaze up. And it'll just burn the entire animal. And you've wasted whatever amount of time that you already got into it because it's ruined.
Yeah. Has it happened to you before?
So many times. So many times. For a pit guy to say he's never had a fire, he might be telling you a lie. So many times it's a high risk procedure the way that we do it. So you got to be careful. You got to be mindful of what you're doing and how fast you're firing your hog.
Of the thousands of hogs that you've cooked in your life, are there any that really stand out in your mind? Are there any nights that you remember?
Yes. Man, there's one night I will never ever forget. We were in Mississippi, down in the Delta at Dockery Farms. Man, that's the scariest night of my life. The pit flooded. The pit flooded just before we started cooking. The
was it raining or with
water. A storm came up. There were two tornadoes like a couple of miles away. There were supposed to be tornadoes down the street, and we were like, "Man, this is not gonna work. What are we gonna do?" I said, "Hey, we're gonna do it. We're gonna make this happen." We go back down to the pit, and the pit's flooded. We took trash can lids, put hot coals in trash can lids, sat them in the water under the hog. We heard spooky sounds all night. We had to bring wood from the shed that looks like the Blair Witch Project. I'm telling you, man, there were sounds and weird things we've seen and heard all night. And when the sun came up, I was like, thank God we are still alive. We survived. And we were so afraid we sat in the vehicle all night. We would not get out. We just parked right in front of the pits.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, man, it was scary. I've spent many a nights outside, but this place was spooky. And the next day, when we took that hog off, it was unbelievably great.
Huh.
It was the best hog I've ever done. I've never done one better.
Oh, that's wild.
I don't think I could do one better. I mean, it was...
Maybe it was haunted, but the ghosts were trying to do good things for you. They were, like, helping you along.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate those ghosts, but I'll take my own chances from here on out. Yeah. That place was spooky, man. But that was the best hog I've ever done.
All right, so let me ask you a question for our listeners. Do you have suggestions for how a home cook might get started?
Oh, man, the home cook. You know, these guys are some of the best out there that are that go unrecognized. I suggest, for one, you know, you want to be careful. You want to be prepared. You want to be safe. You know, you want to make sure that you got your pits in a safe place before you light them up. And instead of going with an entire animal, I suggest they do a butt or a shoulder, something that's smaller, something they can control and understand a lot better as a beginner. You could do it in a few hours. You could still have beers with your neighbors and friends and, you know, not be committed for 12 full hours, not be committed for a whole half a day. You know, you can sit there and relax a little bit. But don't forget the music. Gotta have the music there.
Start with something small and get some music.
My music is kind of like wine. Once it's aged a little bit, I'm more into it. For example, I like a lot of 90s rap, R&B. One of my favorite artists is Anthony Hamilton, Giving You the Best of Me. Mm-hmm. That got to be my favorite song ever. I play a lot of upbeat stuff like Bruno Mars, Cardi B, Drake, you know, and I might twist that up with some Aretha Franklin, Curtis Blow, Marvin Gaye, James Brown, the Gap Band. I like to mix it up because you never know who's visiting you, and you bring back memories for them with that music, the same way you do with your food. You know, it's like, for me, that's that ultimate high, that music and that food together.
Yeah, it's not just about what's on the plate, right? It's the whole experience of it. Thank you so much, Rodney. It's great talking with you.
Oh, man, thank you for having me. Give you the best of me. Give you the best of me. Amazing. 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 Ooh.
Ooh. Having you close to me. Having you close to me. Rodney Scott is the pit master and owner of Rodney Scott's Barbecue in Charleston, South Carolina.